Jeremiah 33, beginning with verse 14. Hear now the word of the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. And then we look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, beginning with verse 25. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Each day Jesus was teaching at the temple, and each evening he went out to spend the night on the hill called the Mount of Olives, and all the people came early in the morning to hear him teach, to hear him at the temple. Excuse me. This is the word of the Lord.
God.
Thanks be to God. The days are coming, declares the Lord. The days are coming. We have days that are coming too, and we expect things, like little children expect there's a day that's coming. They'll be able to open presents under a tree someday. University students look forward to a day when exams will be over and graduation day finally arrives. Some of us look forward to vacation days. When we know that something is coming up, like a big event or a surgery or a big move or a transition in life, we look forward to that day or to those days. Sometimes we look forward in hope and joyful anticipation. But at other times we look forward in fearful anxiety because of all the unknowns that are out there. What does this change mean? What does this transition mean? There's a lot of unknowns. When we look forward, whether joyfully or fearfully, we often become a little more active in life. There are things to do, a house to clean, there's a cake to get ordered, gowns to be fitted, invitations to be sent out, etc., etc. We may anticipate a certain time of life coming to an end and a new time of life beginning. So the planners among us, we get busy planning for that new stage, that new phase of life. These days must be cleaned up, boxed up, put away, affairs to be put in order, because the end is coming for these days. Something new is on the horizon, and we must get ready for it. And that's the Christian season of Advent we're in today, this first Sunday of Advent. We are getting ourselves spiritually ready to celebrate the coming of the Savior of the world. His first coming at Christmas, but also his second coming. And as you can imagine, there are joys, but there's also some pain involved in getting ready for the days that are coming. Change can be painful, and so can the grief of letting some things go while we get ready to embrace something that is new, a newness. Expectant mothers know about this well, too, these things that we call birth pains. When a woman is preparing to give birth to a child, her body goes through this uncomfortable transformation process as it prepares to carry and then deliver a baby. And when the birth is near, there are signs, aren't there? There are certain pains and contractions and convulsions that happen that will let you know that the time is probably near for the baby to be born. And during the time of pregnancy, especially for the first child, there's a realization by both parents that their relationship's going to be different. Things are not always going to be the same. It's not just going to be the two of them anymore. The days are coming. The days are coming. Certainly, something to look forward to with joyful expectation. But mixed into all the joy, there's naturally the fearful anticipation of the unknown. Life is changing. Family is changing. There's hard work and preparation before those days come. Have you ever heard of nesting? Right? Preparing for the stocking up, the organizing, the cleaning, you know, preparing for the newborn to come. Nesting, it's a real thing. Traditionally, the Christian church has us considering the birth pains leading up to the second coming of Jesus on this, the first Sunday of Advent. It's a day to remember that we not only celebrate the first Advent of Christ at Christmas, but we still look forward to those days that are coming, when Christ comes again. And as we wait in joyful and eager anticipation and expectation for Jesus to come again, we might experience what we could call birth pains or signs of Christ's coming. In Reformed circles, we often talk about the tribulation as a time that is going on right now and not just something that's far into the future, a fixed period of time, but a tribulation that's happening even right now. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, pandemics, persecution, it's all going on right now and has been for some time. And maybe you're going through a tribulation right now, too, of some kind. Jesus says in the Bible that there will be signs of the end, birth pains that remind us that Jesus will return one day and make all things right again. What to expect when you're expecting? Expect birth pains. Maybe it seems odd to you this morning that we would spend some time on what sounds like doom and gloom on what should normally be a happy and joyful, festive Christmas season. But I know there are others here that probably appreciate the fact that we don't just gloss over the very real hurt and suffering that's in our world today. Even though it is Advent and the Christmas season, the poor still struggle to make ends meet. The rich, the powerful, and the greedy still make life miserable for some people. The war in the Middle East continues, and Palestinian children are hungry right now. Families go without homes. Buildings crumble around them. The war in Ukraine continues today with uncertain tomorrows. And many people of different races and skin colors still experience a great deal of injustice. People in our own country are still suffering the effects of natural disasters like hurricanes that rolled through the South just weeks ago. A joyful season it is, yes, but let's not ignore the very real human suffering and need that continues in our own communities and in our country and in our world. Why? Because God doesn't ignore it. He doesn't turn a blind eye to it either. In fact, Jesus says when you see or experience these events or hear about them, you're actually seeing signs of the end. Things are not as they're supposed to be right now, and sometimes we need to be reminded of that, maybe more so in the affluent West. We need to remind ourselves that things are not the way they're supposed to be, and sometimes we are reminded of that when something bad happens, right? And that's why all creation groans, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8:22, as in pains of childbirth. He goes on to write, we who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. We wait for it patiently. Expect birth pain. Or a tribulation to continue until the end. The days are coming, though. The days are coming, declares the Lord. Well, what days exactly? What days are coming? In Jeremiah, for example, if we take a look at that passage, the Lord says, the days are coming when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. Verse 14. Now, of course, the near future fulfillment of that promise, or God's promises, were to Israel and Judah, the restoration of the land, right? Return to the land after captivity in Babylon. The hope and the promise of David, though, is brought to our attention this Advent season. God made promises to his people, and he will restore his people once again from their captivity. A righteous king will be restored. But, of course, Jeremiah is a prophet who sees beyond. He sees far into the future, too. So there's a near future fulfillment as the Israel being restored to the land, Israel and Judah. There's also the far future fulfillment of the prophecy. There's an ultimate Lord and King who will come one day. Those days are coming too. A righteous branch of David or the Messiah will come. God says, I will make him sprout up from the stump of Jesse. He will do what is just and right. That is, he will be a leader who is fair and impartial. He will care for the people with equity and justice. His impartial law will protect the weak from the strong. He will lead a just government and manage just relationships among the people. You see, Jeremiah keeps God's concerns before us here. A righteous branch, one who comes in human form, will enter our world and will lead with righteousness and justice and divine power and authority. This is our Advent hope, too, as we experience birth pains today, too. The message of hope and salvation in the middle of desolation to ancient Israel is a message of hope and salvation for us today, too, in the middle of our tribulations. The days are coming, declares the Lord. God will fulfill his good and gracious promises. And that's how Advent begins this year, both in our Old Testament reading and in our New Testament reading of Luke chapter 21. That is, Advent begins with verses that announce to us God fulfilling promises to bring justice and righteousness and redemption. Good news indeed. He does so through a righteous branch of the line of David, through the coming of Jesus, through the Son of Man coming on clouds one day in final judgment and redemption. The days are coming when God will come to us again when Jesus returns to judge the living and the dead. And this announcement from the Scriptures causes us to be joyful and a little anxious. There's some unknowns for how all this is going to play out. This announcement moves us to prepare, to look ahead and expect birth pains while we wait, while we prepare, maybe while we nest. Just like the words of Jeremiah, the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 21 are viewed through the near future fulfillment and the far future fulfillment lenses. Our reading of Luke 21 is captured within the other teachings of Jesus in the temple teachings. Earlier in the chapter, the disciples are remarking about how huge the stones are in the temple. And I remember when Pastor Mike and I went to Israel, we saw part of that temple still existing, and those stones are massive. And you wonder how people in the ancient world could actually move those stones. Well, the time is coming, Jesus tells them, when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. Verse 6. And then verse 7, the disciples ask him, when will these things happen? What will be the sign that they're about to take place? The disciples want to be prepared. They want to be prepared for this to happen. What will be the signs that this is about to take place? Wouldn't you want to be prepared too? So Jesus teaches them about the signs of the times. The wars, the rumors of wars, the natural disasters, there will be persecution of believers. He encourages them, though, through it all, saying that God will bless you and encourage you and give you wisdom so that you know what to say when you have to face the authorities during that time of tribulation. And there will be a time for witnessing to Jesus, verse 13. Jerusalem will be destroyed, verses 20 to 24. And then the Son of Man will come in power and great glory, and the whole earth will know that it happened. It will be a global phenomenon when he comes again. So we see the near future fulfillment in the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, right, in 77 AD. But there's also the far future prophecy that we see in verse 27. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and glory. That far future fulfillment of this prophecy. Much tribulation will happen. There will be signs of the end, and then Jesus will return. But believers shouldn't be shaken by the shaking of the heavens and the earth. This is not a time of fear or distress for the believer, he says. In the days, it's a day of grace and fulfillment of God's good promises that he will come, that he will make all things right again. When these things begin to take place, Jesus says in verse 28, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. When you see these signs, when you see these things of the end, lift up your heads, take heart. As surely as one can see signs of the summer when the fig tree begins to blossom, well, you can see signs of Christ's return, and you know that the kingdom of God is near. This generation that Jesus mentions in verse 33 will witness the near future fulfillment of these things, that is, the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. But even as the things of the earth turn to rubble, his words will never pass away. The birth pains we expect will happen, but let the believer, like the pregnant mother, look forward to the days that are coming. Look forward to that day of birth when you'll hold that baby in your arms. Look forward to that great joy, day of joy and delight in experiencing the full redemption and the presence of Christ when he returns. As it says in Romans 8:18, I consider that our present sufferings are not even worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. But let this warning, Jesus continues, let these signs that you see have an effect on your life. Let this warning, let these signs of the end have a sanctifying effect or impact on your life today. Take a look at verses 34 to 36. He says, be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Believers don't have to live in utter fear and trepidation of the signs of the end or the second coming of Christ, but this announcement should still have some effect, right? The signs of the end should still have some effect on our lives. Jesus calls for prayerful watchfulness. Prayerful watchfulness. He warns us of falling into the trap of thinking, well, this will never happen to me. This will never happen in my time. Let's just eat, drink, and be merry. Who cares? Don't fall into that trap. So it's interesting how Jesus phrases this warning in verse 34. Be careful, he says, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. We often think of alcohol being a heart-lifting capacity, having a heart-lifting capacity, or somehow people get happier if they've been drinking. But Jesus says, don't let your heart be weighed down by alcohol. Now, alcohol is a natural depressant for a lot of people and has that effect on a lot of people. And it's been said that alcohol just amplifies your personality and what's already going on within you. So if you're a jerk, drinking alcohol just makes you more of a jerk. Or if you're already struggling with the anxieties of life or feeling down or fearful, well, alcohol is just going to make that worse. It's just going to impact you that way and make it worse. Well, maybe another way to look at this warning of Jesus is to think of the dulling effects of alcohol. Alcohol dulls our senses, dulls our judgment, dulls our reaction time. Just as it's not good to get behind the wheel of a car after you've been drinking, it's not good to allow your reaction time to Jesus and his coming again to be dulled by drunkenness, overindulgence, being weighed down even by the anxieties of life. Without hope, without looking ahead, without looking forward, without looking to Christ. Don't let it weigh you down and cause you to be sleepy so that you're not alert and prayerful when Jesus returns. Avoid that overindulgence and being overly anxious about worldly matters. Don't fall into that trap, Jesus says. Be always on the watch and pray. So the advent of God's coming to us again in Jesus is freedom and joy for the believer who has been watchful and prayerful and waiting for him to come. But for those who refuse to believe and ignore the good news, the day of grace becomes a day of judgment and a trap made out of one's own self-indulgence and willful blindness or hard-heartedness. What can we do if we find ourselves getting spiritually sleepy or overly indulgent in all the wrong things? Repent. Pray. Watch for the light. Repent, pray, and watch for the light. That's how to prepare for Christmas. Prepare your hearts, not just your homes, not just your trees, not just your living spaces, not just your playlist. Prepare your hearts. Prepare your spirit. I don't usually love tattoos I see on people. I usually don't appreciate them at all, actually. There was one that caught my attention recently that I saw on a woman, and it was written right up her arm. It was a song lyric that was written on her arm, and it said, "Kick the darkness until it bleeds light. Kick the darkness until it bleeds light." For some reason, that really caught my attention. I just remembered that. There's kind of a fierceness to it, you know, an unwillingness to fall to the darkness or the dark feelings or to depression or whatever it is. Kick the darkness until it bleeds light, right? Or maybe until you see light. You see, the evil, the destruction, the wars, the pain that we feel today are very real, and they need to be addressed by God's people and not ignored. The injustices that we see happening to our neighbors is very real too and should not be ignored. The pain and struggle of other people matter to us. Matters to us as believers. Why? Because it matters to God. It matters to God. Don't fall into the trap of moral sloth or forgetfulness either. Don't blind your vision of reality or dull your heart and mind with the worries of the world or the deceitfulness of the fleeting momentary pleasures that this world can offer you. Even so, when others are bowed down in distress and anxiety about the times that we are in, believers, lift up your heads. We lift our heads up high. Disciples of Jesus, look up from the rubble and the rubbish of our times, and we look to Christ who will come again one day, and he'll make all things right. The vigilant, the prayerful, the disciplined disciple will lift up her head in the midst of the signs of the end because she's been preparing for it her whole life. The days are coming, declares the Lord. The days are coming. Expect birth pains. Repent. Pray. Watch for the light. Repent. Pray. And watch for the light. Would you pray with me? Faithful and loving God, we look to you today. And we pray you would slow us down from the busyness, the hurry, the rushing, the consumerism, the materialism, so that we may be alert to what is really important this season and what this season is all about. Wake us out of our stupor, we pray, so that we may grasp onto the hope that really matters. We pray for strength and courage to be faithful, prayerful, and even countercultural in our Advent observance this year. We look forward to Jesus coming, and we look forward to the transformation you will perform in our own lives and hearts and in our communities. For it is in Jesus' name we pray, the name above all names. Amen. And now I invite you to stand for the benediction and our final song this morning. There are some refreshments in the back, and I hope you'll stick around after the service and to have some fellowship time together. But as you go, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and the love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may God grant you the gift of anticipation and hope as you witness to his love and grace in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. The blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.